We will read the text this morning from Ephesians. You can read with me. We'll read it together. And this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. And he finishes with two verses. It's a benediction. We're not going to read the benediction right now, but we're going to read the rest of the prayer from verses 14 through 19. So, read with me, please. Everyone together. Can you see? Here we go. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it goes on into the benediction, and we'll not read that this morning right now. What is the fullness of God? The last phrase there, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, you don't have to respond to me right now. I just want you to think about it for a few moments. To know the fullness of God. Paul says that ye may be able to comprehend. As I said earlier, we're finite. God is infinite. And our little brains can't get around that. We can't totally understand that. But it's good to ponder, to think about, and to meditate. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at several metaphors that may help us to get a little bit of a glimpse of how great God's love is. Jesus, in the New Testament, used parables to talk about the kingdom of God. And those parables were meant for the people, his listeners, to be able to grasp a certain aspect of the kingdom of God, something they were familiar with. So this morning, these little metaphors, we're familiar with these things. So maybe we can make a little bit of a comparison between that, what we're familiar with, and how great God's love is. We're going to look at God's love is like the mountains. Some of you like mountains. You like to go out to the mountains a lot. God's love is like the rivers. God's love is like the oceans. And God's love is like the heavens. First one is we're going to look at is God's love is like the mountains. In Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Now there is a topographical map. Some of you are familiar with those. Maybe you don't know how to read those, but I'm not real good at it. But I know this. If you look up here, this is Jerusalem and Mount Zion and the surrounding countryside. But look at this. Some of you guys that are familiar with how to do this, you tell me if I'm wrong. But when it's real close together like that right there, the lines that are real close together over here, around there, and you can see around here, it's real close together. Doesn't that mean that it's really steep? Yeah. And then when it's like up here, see how wide, how far apart those lines are? That's more of a level spot or more of a plateau area. But when it gets really steep like that, I mean, when it's lots of lines, it's really steep. So what I wanted to point out with this picture is, if you see Mount Zion and the city of Jerusalem, and look, here's the Kidron Valley, and here is the Hinnom Valley. There's some valleys around here, and there's lots of steep hills. So let's go back here and what our text say. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. So as I understand it, Jerusalem was mostly built on a hill. And you can see that here. There's like a hill. It sits on top of a hill area. And then beyond that, if you look at a picture of the extended countryside around Jerusalem, I don't have a picture to show you here, but if you go online or look in a picture book somewhere, you can see that there's lots of, it's a hilly region around there, lots of hills around the city of Jerusalem. So in a sense, if you can, you know what a castle is with a moat around the castle? A moat is for protection, right? So in a sense, it almost is like a moat around the city. It's a deep valley around the city for protection. That's what the psalmist was saying. Just like the mountains and the hills that are surrounding Jerusalem, so is God's love. So is God's love around us. We live in a very dangerous world. We are a very busy culture, and we get caught up. So many different things, and there's generally a lack of there's some lack sometimes of safety physically, and a lack of safety spiritually if we get lax in our spiritual life. One aspect of God's love is His mercy. God's mercy, God's love surrounds His people constantly. And have you stopped to think? Now, I don't know this. I guess he's a young man that Calder talked about. How old is he?
18.
So I don't know him. Sounds like a pretty sad situation. But have you stopped and thought about recently all the miles that you travel? Reagan's getting ready to travel again. All the miles that you travel on the highway and how close we come to death every time we get out there. With cars, I don't mean to be morbid this morning, but the cars are coming at us 70 miles an hour sometimes, and we're coming at them 70 miles an hour, so how fast are we going to collide if we hit? Simple math says 140 miles an hour, right? That's a pretty sudden stop. And we're just zoom. And down in Florida, just a couple days ago, there was a really, really bad accident. I don't know if you know about it, but two tractor trailers collided with two passenger vehicles. And I think at least five, if not more, children were killed. I think both truck drivers died. Very fiery, very bad accident on Interstate 75 in Florida. Now, I'm just talking about accidents that happen on roads, and we travel lots of miles, and there's lots of bad wrecks. And think about God's mercy in your life and how much he's merciful to you. Whether you're on the highway or what about on the job? Some of you work very dangerous jobs. Some of you, your jobs are not quite as dangerous as others. I'm going to pick on Gary today on this one. He has a truss shop, and there's some very dangerous equipment in that shop. Some big saw blades spinning very fast. And there's tow motors running around. There's very heavy lumber pieces being carried around with that thing. And, you know, lots of things can happen there at that place that could be very, very bad and dangerous. But we have to have safety. We have to be very careful. I grew up on a farm. Some of you did too. And you've often heard it said, well, a farm is just the best place to raise a family. It is a good place to raise a family. It's also a very dangerous place to raise a family. Maybe not the type of farming that Dean does necessarily, but I'm talking about farms where you have large tractors and big, heavy equipment they're doing field work with, and machinery and all kinds of things in the barn. And can be a very dangerous place to raise a family. So our jobs, the highway, I'm talking about physical safety now. God is merciful to us many times, isn't he? We can live long lives, and we can go so close to death in so many different ways with our jobs and with travel. And yet we live long lives a lot of times because of God's mercy. Now, that's physically. Spiritually speaking, if we stay focused on him, then we are completely yielded to him in every way. We are secure in him. Remember that. That's a little different than our physical safety and our physical health, right? We can be completely yielded to God in every way, sold out to Him, walking closely with Him, but we can still be involved in a terrible accident, or we can get a terrible illness, or something can happen to us physically. But on the contrary, and spiritually speaking, when we're walking close to God, then we can be completely secure in Him, and we will be safe. There's no better place to be than in the will of God, right? When we choose our own way, that's the dangerous spot. But when we're following God, it doesn't matter if we're here in Athens or if He takes us to the backwoods of Africa somewhere, or like that young man that was killed in the island people recently. He was at a safe place because he was in God's will. Now, his life wasn't spared, but he's at home with the Lord now, right? Is that safe? That's safe. Okay. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and that's listed in the New Testament, the whole armor of God each day, and then we will have protection from the evil one. We need to live intentionally and with purpose in our lives. Again, we're not guaranteed physical safety, but we are guaranteed spiritual safety if we are living with Him, if we're walking with Him. Millions of people are seeking peace through self-effort, through pursuit of pleasure, through possessions. These things don't make a difference. I mean, they're not eternal. Okay, there's many people that think if we get involved politically and we get the right people put in the office and in the earthly governments, it's going to be better. If that's your view this morning, I challenge you to study the life of Christ and to reconsider your view. As Brother Dean Taylor says, as you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, ask yourself the underlying question there. What if Jesus really meant every word that He said? And you soon come to understand and believe and know that politics is not the answer. People think you go on a cruise to the Caribbean, to a resort on the beach, be a peaceful life. That's not where God wants us. The American dreams. Get more and more things. Materialism. Put it on the credit card. Buy lottery tickets and hope for the big one. It's going to bring lasting peace and lasting joy. No. It doesn't work. We need to trust in God's unfailing love. And He's the one. He will give us peace in our hearts. So God's love is like the mountains. That song that most of you are familiar with, bigger than any problem, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. So God made the mountains, and He's so much bigger than those mountains. So we have our difficulties in life that we face, our problems that we face, but God's love is so much bigger. Now, that's the mountains. You can relate to mountains, most if not all of you. You like to go there. Think about mountains. Think about God's love. Now, secondly, God's love is like the rivers. The water flowing down the rivers. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. God's love extends to the far corners of the earth. Rivers flow into the seas to be caught up again and again, and it's a cycle that goes around and around. You're probably familiar with that picture or one like it. The waters of the earth are continually moving, aren't they? They come down the river. They land up here in the mountains. They wash down the river here, all the way back out to the ocean, get evaporated, come back up. It's just a circle, goes around and around and around. The water cycle, or the hydrologic cycle. Water changes from one form to another and moves from place to place, but it just keeps going. So as long as the world stands, that water cycle is going to go on. And that's just like God's love. God's love is eternal. It's never ending. And God's love is not going to end when this world ends. That's the wonderful thing. God's love is eternal. It brings spiritual life and power to everyone who partakes of the water of life, as Jesus told the woman at the well. In John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39a, it says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit of God. Rivers of living water. When the Spirit is within us, we've got the power of God within us. So as I just said a little bit ago, when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." God's love is like the rivers. Chuck Swindoll said this, "When I was in the Marine Corps in the Orient, I became serious about the ministry. It was amazing to me that God was changing my heart at that time. My sister Lucy, who knew of my interest through a letter I had written her, sent me a book. I still have that book in my library. I treasure it. I opened the book to the book the afternoon I received it and saw that she had written in the front part of the book this inscription, 'Whom have we, Lord, but thee, soul thirst to satisfy? Exhaustless spring, the water is free, all other streams are dry.'" It's a hymn written by Mary Peters. And so you think about somebody who's searching and longing to know the Lord better, as Chuck was at that point. He was trying to understand God better and learn more. And think about this, how that all other streams are dry, but with the Lord, that's where it's an exhaustless spring. The water keeps coming and it keeps coming, and it's free water. It's life. God's love, an exhaustless spring, it never runs dry. His love flows through his children to satisfy those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew 5, verse 6, very familiar verse in the Beatitudes. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We can be a channel. Each one of us as believers can be a channel through whom God's love can flow, just like a river. And it can flow out to others. So the challenging question for each of us is, are you, am I, that channel through which the water of life flows? When we meet people, does that living water flow out of us to them and touch them? God's love guides and directs in life. You know, on the river, if you go down the Mississippi River, it guides the ships, the barges that are on that river, to the next port. Okay? So you're on that river, and you're on a boat, and you follow that river. It's a channel. Gets you from port A to port B. Now, you can steer your boat and say, "Well, I want to go over here to port C and try to go across over here," but you're going to run into the bank and you're going to come to a stop. You have to stay in the river and go with where that channel is leading you. And that's like God's love. God's love is like a river. It directs us in life. It's a channel that safely carries people to heaven. This river of God's love will lead to the river of life proceeding from the throne of God. It talks about in Revelation 22, verse 1. That's our destination. God's love is like a mountain. God's love is like a river. God's love is like an ocean. In the Old Testament, the book of Micah 7, verses 18 and 19, says, "Who is God like you? Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread out our iniquities, underfoot. You, God, will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. How big is God's love? Anybody been to the ocean in the last month? Yeah, some of you have. You look out across the waters, and you can just, as far as you can see, it's just like that. It's flat out there, and it just goes out to meet the sky, doesn't it? That's what it seems like. That's not very far you can see, you know. You can't really see that far. If you get up in an airplane, you can see a lot further. If you got into space, you can see a lot further. But the water is so much of it. The Earth's oceans cover about 70. The Earth's ocean covers about 70% of the surface of the Earth. And the oceans contain about 97% of all the water on the Earth. That's in the ocean, 97%. But then you got all the rivers, and you got the little lakes, and you got all the little ponds and streams. Okay? It's a lot of water, isn't it? Lots of gallons. We're talking about how big and how great God's love is. It's like that. It's huge. Okay? How big is your love? Human love versus God's love. Human love is often fragile, it's shallow, it's distorted, it's unfaithful. Think about your life, think about my life, and how many times we fail in this area of loving others. It's fragile, isn't it? We fail so many times. But God's love, on the contrary, is strong, it's trustworthy, it's dependable, as vast and as deep as the ocean. So maybe we as Christians need to examine ourselves and see if we really have God's love within us. It's always a good question to ask myself and yourself, isn't it? Do I have God's love within me? Am I responding appropriately to other people with God's love? Or is it my love? Is it fragile love? Is it agape love? Are we strong, trustworthy, and dependable? Are we fragile, shallow, and unfaithful? When we are approached or confronted by another brother or sister in the church who is concerned about the direction that we're walking and our spiritual well-being, do we receive them with love, with God's love, the size of a mud puddle or the size of the ocean? How do you receive that concerned brother or sister? Are we gracious or are we argumentative? God's love, like the ocean, is deep. Sinners who repent and accept Christ by faith are forgiven of their sins. I trust that happened to each one of us here, that we've been forgiven of our sins as we've yielded our lives to God. The sins are cast into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. That's what the Bible says. Now, I have another picture to show you. This is the Mariana Trench in the Western Pacific Ocean. It's about 125 miles off the coast of Guam. And that is the deepest trench in the world, oceanic trench. It is 36,000 feet, 36,200 feet. Okay, to help you understand that a little bit better, when you see a jet flying overhead, he's probably up in about that range, about 35 to 40,000 feet up. Well, that's how deep the deepest trench is from the surface of the water. Okay, now that's a lot of water, and that's very deep and it's very dark down there. That's where our sins are buried. The Bible says he put our sins in the depths of the sea. Meaning he doesn't remember them against us anymore. He's forgiven us. You can't get to them. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit cleanses and he fills committed Christians with God's love. And then love reaches out to share Christ with others. So, are you being like a river? Are you a channel that carries God's love to others? Are you like an ocean, containing the endless and boundless love of God within you? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, familiar verses we could all quote probably, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Our cell group is memorizing verses from 1 John. Good verses to memorize. Not just memorize, but to apply. So when we have God's love in our hearts, then we will have love like the ocean. It'll be deep and wide. A regenerated human heart can love like God. With all the sinfulness of ourselves put aside, we can love like God when we yield to Him and have His love within us. Okay? It's not impossible. Let's move on to the number four. God's love is like the heavens. It's like the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, and now the heavens. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is far above us in His thinking and in everything. We are so small, we're so finite, and He's so infinite. God's love is far up. In Psalm 108, verse 4, "For your steadfast love is great above the heavens, your faithfulness reaches the clouds." Have you ever pondered the size of the universe? We just talked about how big the ocean is, and it's big, but then when you think about the universe, the oceans are pretty little, aren't they? The universe is really big. At 12:33 a.m. Eastern Time on New Year's Day of this year, just a few days ago, the New Horizons spacecraft, if you kept up with the news lately, you'd know about this. The New Horizons spacecraft, which was launched back in 2006, passed Ultima Thule, a Manhattan-sized snowman-shaped rock. It's about 21 miles long, they suppose, and about 10 miles wide. And it is a billion miles beyond Pluto. And this spacecraft passed Pluto back in 2015. It went a billion miles further, and it just saw sending back pictures of that rock, or whatever that is, out there. So Pluto is about 4 billion miles from Earth, and that rock is another billion miles past Pluto. I'm going to give you some numbers to blow your mind, okay? So hang on. Pluto is 4.67 billion miles from Earth. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. Now, I hope I did my math right. You correct me if I'm wrong. It takes about, that would take about 7 hours for light to make this trip. From Earth to Pluto, about 7 hours to get there. How long does it take light to get from the sun to us here on Earth? Anybody know?
8 minutes.
Correct. 8 minutes. But it takes 7 hours to get out to Pluto. From Earth to Pluto. The sun would be about 93 million miles from the Earth. But Pluto is 4.67 billion miles from the Earth. Big, big, big. God's love is like the heavens. Can't even imagine it sometimes. You think about the universe and all that's out there. It's unimaginable. In 2004, Burt Rutan, he was an aerospace engineer, and his crew made history and won a $10 million X Prize when he reached the edge of space in his privately funded aircraft called Spaceship One. There's a picture of it. The pilot that was flying that, it wasn't Bert. The pilot that was flying that climbed up to about 62 miles above the Earth, about 100 kilometers. He touched the edge of space. He could experience weightlessness at that height. I think they took pictures. I think he released some M&Ms when he reached the apogee, and they just started floating out there in the cabin. And then he, if you've seen pictures of this, that thing, I should have put a picture on, but it kind of folds in about a quarter or so. Those wings fold up in the back there, and then it comes floating down kind of like a maple leaf back. It keeps it from entering the Earth's atmosphere too fast and burning up. It creates a lot of drag and keeps it from burning up when it re-enters the atmosphere. But he successfully did it and got a $10 million prize for it. So he got out there 62 miles, but what I just talked about was billions of miles beyond that was where Pluto was. And we're saying all this just to say how big, when you look up how big it is out there, the universe is huge. But God's love is bigger than that. God's love reaches the high and the low in society as well. The educated and the uneducated, the rich and the poor. God is no respecter of persons. He loves each and every person, each and every human being that he created. He loves them. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're Donald Trump or if you're Hillary Clinton. It doesn't matter if you are Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know if you know these people or not. Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy. They were both infamous mass killers. And they were both, they're both deceased now. But God loved them. If you're Jeff Bezos, you know who he is? Jeff is the founder and the head of Amazon. And if I believe he's worth greater than $160 billion at this point. Richest man on the earth. So it doesn't matter if you're Jeff or if you are a penniless drunk in the gutter of a major city somewhere. God loves him and God loves him. God loves me. God loves you. God's love is huge, and he loves us so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to this earth many years ago. And Jesus gave his life on the cross for us. God's love is amazing. And God's love will take his children to heaven when their earthly journey has ended. In Revelation chapter 2, I missed some verses here, sorry. I'm going to read these verses from 1 John. I passed over here. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Talking about how that when we are saturated in the love of Christ, in God's love, we are one in Christ. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." I just said that his love will take us to the end of our destination when our journey here on earth is ended. Be faithful, I will give you. That's promises. In chapter 21, verse 4, it says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's coming up. That's coming up. We will be in God's presence. In closing, my prayer, like Paul from our main text in Ephesians, my prayer for each of you is that Christ would dwell in each of your hearts by faith. We live on this earth and we accept God and his love by faith. My prayer is that you may be able to comprehend, as Paul said, with all saints, what is the breadth in the length and the depth and the height of God's love. So we talked about the mountains. We talked about the rivers. We talked about the oceans. And we talked about the heavens in comparison. Little metaphors to help us to understand different aspects of how huge, how great God's love is, how amazing His love is. My prayer is that you would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I'd like you to ponder that this week, if you would, if you have some free time. Be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about what that means. How can you be filled with all the fullness of God? In closing, take your hymn books in, we'll sing another song. 153 in Hymns of the Church. 153. In this song, we're going to sing all three verses this time.
Greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardon from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong.
Favorite verse on the back, on the last one here. I want you to listen to, or sing along, but think about the words here. Verse 3.
Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to